Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, and do we have a big show today. International DJ and all-round legend Will Sparks is coming in to join me for a chat about gym life, DJ life, and what it's like to travel and still stay on track with your health and fitness goals. Plus, we also have a very interesting question of the week, so make sure you stick around for that at the end of the show. But for now, let's get stuck into the interview with Will. All right, Will, firstly, mate, thanks heaps for coming in and joining us on the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks a lot, man. It's good to be here. Finally. We've met up so many times.
Teed up for a while, so it's good to finally get it done. And yeah. For those that are listening, I'm sure Will needs no introduction, but today we're basically going to be doing something a little bit different for Will. We're going to be talking about training and not as much about music, which is probably something you're not used to.
Bloody good. I'd love that.
Which is good. So I know I've had... Mate, if I could, I don't have enough fingers to count the amount of times I've had people ask me to do a podcast with you
really?
About training. So, I think
you're gonna know the secrets now, guys.
Secrets
to those pythons.
So we'll get stuck straight into it, man. So, first question I wanted to ask you is, what age did you start training, and why did you start training?
Well, I was on and off training when I was around 15, 16, you know, in high school, and wasn't that dedicated. Didn't get the same feelings as what I'd get now when I train, and I wasn't confident, obviously a bit smaller in the... I was going to this heavy bodybuilder gym called I forgot it was in Canberra, Body World.
Body World,
you know, heavy headed mecca, you know. And so yeah, on and off. But then when I got to about 18, I wasn't training at all when I'd left school and started making music and DJing. I was just drinking, partying. And then my I had a girlfriend, and she actually broke up with me.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, fuck this, I'm getting mint.
And
that was my kind of inspiration and motive.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because like, you ask a lot of people, even people that are already in the fitness industry now, why they started training. And a lot of the time it isn't because of... they just loved weights. It's because of some...
blowing off steam.
Some other factor that's kind of an external
wanting
factor
to prove something
to come in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So, it was when I was about 19, 20. So, I've been training about 5 years now.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And when you first started, what was your training like? Like, was it a typical bro split like you see a lot of people do now? Or was... what did you do when you went in there? Did you have much of an idea of what you were doing?
No idea. Didn't train legs for 2 years. I'll put that out there.
Skip leg day
for about a year and a half, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then, I did all upper body every set, every day. So I did shoulders, biceps, tries. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was just going, I'll go that machine now. I'll try that one.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sort of direction at all until I started training with my tour manager.
Okay.
When I was about 20, 21.
Yeah.
And he actually was the first one to get me to start squatting and using my lower body to, because that just shaped me after that. He goes, your whole core, yeah, everything is going to get so much better.
Yeah.
So I've been training my lower body for about three or four years now.
Yeah, cool. So it's, fuck, the amount of people that I work with or whatever that haven't done much legs before, then when we start training legs, are just amazed at how much their upper body grows as well.
Oh, 100%.
How much it changes their physique is unbelievable.
Dude,
isn't it?
It gets all those extra hormones going, I think.
And for anyone that's listening or watching at the moment that doesn't train legs, then you are missing out.
Not only on
lower body gains, but upper body gains.
That's it. And that's what makes leg day worth it, and all that pain and suffering. I reckon I was spewing after every leg day my first year of doing it. And now 3 or 4 years on, I'm like loving it. So there is a bit of gold at the end of the pot.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it.
In the pot.
In the rainbow. At the end of the rainbow. Not much of a rainbow though.
All right. So obviously you travel a shitload. Your schedule's pretty bloody hectic all over the world and Australia and whatnot. So how do you fit it all in? Because an excuse that comes up a lot with my clients and just people that you talk to in general is...
Too
tired, not enough time, busy schedule.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you have a ridiculously busy schedule, especially when you're overseas, because people that follow you on social media and whatnot would have a look at your stories or whatever, and you're on one flight, then on the next flight, and you're just all over the place. So how do you fit it in?
Well, an even harder part about my job is I don't have a gym anywhere I go. So I have to find and source the gym wherever I go. Every destination, it'll be a different country sometimes every day.
Yeah.
And that's like the hardest part. Time is not the hardest part because I've got this. So usually I'll finish a show at what, 2 a.m. I get home. I try to get to sleep by around 3, 4. Wake up around 8 or 9. This is Europe.
Yeah.
Because you have to take at least 3 flights to get anywhere in Europe. So I'd have to get up at about 8 or 9. I'd go try and have breakfast before the flight, go straight there. We usually get in around 7 or 8 at night.
Yeah.
And that gives me a 3 or 4 hour window to train before I play again.
Yeah.
So I try to get my sleep on the planes while during the day.
Okay.
Yeah. But sometimes I don't. Sleeping on planes sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And so I've just got a no excuse thing where, you know, minute you get to the hotel, don't hit the bed, get straight into the gym at the hotel, if not one that's nearby. But these days I actually try and source hotels with good gyms.
Yeah.
Because we actually book it ourselves. They don't book it for us.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it. And, you know, food is another big factor that I struggle with. But, you know, as long as you're fueling your body, then I just see it as, you know, just train it off.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people come up with excuses as to, you know, they're in another country, so for some reason that means that
they
can't
don't
find
train
the gym, or they don't train, or they
don't
or
eat,
they
right.
shouldn't train.
They just drink every night.
Mitchell in the corner. but I don't know about you, but even sometimes if I'm traveling, or even literally just here some days, if I'm flat out and I've got fuck all time, then sometimes I'll just, even if I get in for 20 minutes, get a couple of lifts done,
mate,
leave with my heart rate up, and automatically you just feel so much better.
So much better mentally, physically, and, you know, at least, this is one thing someone said to me once, doesn't matter how shit you feel before going to the gym, you're 100% going to feel better than what you did before you went in there.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
It doesn't matter. As long as you do something.
There's no such thing as a... no one ever regretted going to the gym.
No, that's it. So, but yeah, I find the time... There's always time. Wake up an hour earlier, you know?
Yeah.
If you've got this 9-to-5 job. If you get home at, what, I don't know. I just feel like an hour a day is nothing. Even some DJs have spoken to me about it and said, fuck that. I need my sleep. You know, how do you do it if you're going to be up all night again? I'm just like, just sleep on the planes, man. Like, just knock the head back.
If you're serious about it, you always find a way.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
Something that I'm a massive believer in is if you actually have a goal that you're honestly serious about, then you'll find a way to do it. You'll make it a priority.
That's it. And another thing someone said to me, which is so stupid, he goes, man, you know, I don't go to the gym because in that hour that I was going to go to the gym, I could have made a hit in the studio. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. So it's just different worlds, different people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you want it, you'll do it.
Exactly right. If it was easy,
every cunt would be doing it.
Exactly. Man, so you touched on it then, but obviously the physical side of training is obvious, but mentally it's a big thing, and something that I talk about a bit on the podcast here is mental health, and we were chatting about it the other day after after Avicii, and also after I mentioned I did a podcast with Nick that I did it with last week. So how do you find the training actually affects you mentally as well? Like, do you feel like you're in a good headspace after you train? Do you feel like you're in a shit headspace if you don't train, type of thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm. So that part, yes. I feel like I'm in a really shit headspace if I don't train. That's why all my team and everything make sure I get a gym, right? Everywhere I go.
Yeah.
They, like, has to have a gym because I'll just get upset and down. But honestly, I think that training for me on tour has saved me for my job, because I would have hit rock bottom, because it's such a lonely job, you know. It's something that gives you that endorphin release you need in yourself, because it can get really dark on tour, and as you said, like with Avicii, he had a really dark time on tour. He didn't really train, I don't think, and you know, maybe it was something he could have done to save himself, I don't know. But he was partying a lot, I think, and we don't know exactly what happened with him, and I didn't know him personally, so I can't really judge, but who knows? But I think that it really does save your mental health if you're doing what I do, or even if you're doing another job that's similar to mine that just, you know, exhausts you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mental health, absolutely. I totally agree. It helps it.
Yeah, sure. And I guess you pretty much touched on it then, but do you reckon the training side of things and being into your health and fitness and obviously taking care of your body has affected your DJing in any way? Or have you ever found, I don't know, have you even ever found like motivation to make a song because you've been feeling so good after a session or something like that? Because I know when I leave the gym, especially if it's later in the day and I get home, like I'm just fucking
amped. I want to accomplish it.
I feel motivated to work and put in some time to the stuff I'm trying to achieve. So,
dude, you hit it on the head, you know. Like, I get so much more, I don't know, creative in a sense. I feel more productive, so I do more productive things and want to create. If I'm just slouching around and, you know, say I just hung over all the time,
yeah,
I'd be unmotivated. So it does motivate me for my craft, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the people in the world that are the best at what they do, that are up to like the top of their game, a very recurring theme is the fact that the time they spend with certain people, or the people that they spend time with, they value the most. So do you try and surround yourself with people that are going to motivate you and that are trying to achieve big things as well to have that rub off on you? And
completely, man. It's the energy around you. I believe in the energy of someone else rubs off on your energy. It's something that we can't explain scientifically, you know? You can just feel it between human connections.
Yeah.
And I've had to live and learn about those things with people that I've worked with. You know, how if they were, you know, what am I trying to say? If they helped me, or if they're detrimental,
or whether they exactly bring it up, yeah.
So, and I found, all I wanted to do was travel with a mate.
Yeah.
And my other tour managers, they were, because you only ever travel with one person, really, or two, if it's a photographer and a tour manager. I tried to make them my friend, and they are really good friends of mine, but some things made us clash.
Okay.
Just little things, and it rubbed off the wrong way, and so we moved on.
Yeah.
And but now I've got like my best mate who's touring with me 24/7, and we even hang out when we're not touring or working. Yeah. So that's just clocked it for me, and it took me a few years to find that, but I totally agree. Yeah, surround yourself with the ones that, you know, push you and make you want to be successful.
Mm.
Like Mitch. Yeah. I surround myself with Mitch, and all he wants to do is clock life and smash it and be healthy, and, you know, you just depends.
Yeah, awesome. So the amount, you obviously love the fitness industry and you love training, and it's a big passion of yours along with music, obviously.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the fitness industry that you kind of look up to, or people that when you started training you were just like, oh, fuck, like really admire his physique, or people that you even watch now? I don't know if you watch people now. And
well, yeah, I mean, now that stories and stuff have come about, you get to know someone's personality.
Mm.
So it's a big difference between wanting to look like them and actually liking them.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I did really like Ross Dickerson's rig when I first started. I was like, that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
You know, you want to look like that. It still isn't all, you know, aesthetically, is that the word?
Aesthetically.
I don't really care about how I look. It's more about how I feel.
Yeah.
Especially after the gym, or, you know, during, you know, the pump, like what Arnie says.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I live for, and that's why I do it. But yeah, he was one I was like, yeah, that looks sick. But I used to starve myself, Danny. Like, I used to eat nothing. On tour, I would be eating Caesar salads from airports. No rice, only brown, you know? Yeah. I didn't know.
Mm.
No butter, no fats. I wouldn't eat avocados. And, like, I was just depleting my body. And I looked gaunt. I looked like I was fasting and not eating.
Yeah.
And then I worked out.
It's extremely hard to recover and size
exactly
and
get
bigger in the gym, yeah.
And then I realized that you have to eat to get big, and you have to eat to fuel and give yourself energy, and, you know, and it depends what kind of body type you have, but I'm naturally very skinny and easily burn fat. I sweat hard.
Yeah.
So I have to eat so much, and I started eating and I finally started seeing actual changes in actual weight gain. I used to be 82, 3 years in a row, 82, but I gained muscle,
mm-hmm.
lean as fuck. And then I went, fuck, I'm going to eat. And now I'm like 87, 88. Feel good,
yeah.
And just love it, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to worry about losing my abs.
Yeah, and it's just that...
You're always going to have them.
Yeah, it's just that knowledge, isn't it? Like,
exactly.
It's getting the information from the right places. It's implementing it. And for someone that's been eating, I guess, like you said before, like you were eating not that much, and then to go from that to eating a heap, like it can be hard mentally. Like a lot of people that I talk to with nutrition, it's not as easy as saying, all right, you're doing the wrong thing.
The guilt.
It takes a long time to build that up.
You get really guilty.
Yeah, but it's you know, it could be as simple as someone listening to this and hearing that you're in the same position that they were in, and then realizing that they
seriously, yeah. If you're skinny and you want to put on size but want to keep your abs, don't worry about it. You're still gonna have your abs.
Yeah.
Just eat and just train hard, and you're just gonna gain size, and you'll start getting abs looking like 300. You know, just bulky abs.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot more to health and fitness and training than just abs as well, which I learned 100%. Early on. I used to be the same. Like, all
everyone
I wanted
just
was
wants abs.
And I really could not give a shit about
no, me either now. I'd rather big arms.
100%. So what's your training like now? I obviously know, but the people that are listening may not know. What's your training and also your nutrition like now? Let's say while you're in Australia when you've got kind of a bit more of a structured routine.
Yeah, well, when I've got a day off, like during the week, I'll try and have 4 meals.
Yep.
All carved up, you know, a lot of protein. Always trying out in my greens. I don't measure anything, but I try to eat good carbs and good lean proteins, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, you're not going to just go smash fried chicken every day.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes I do, yeah. I'll have a bloody fried chicken burger and love it.
Yeah.
Straight after legs. I might have 3 burgers, you know. Fuck it. And so that's my routine during the week. When I'm traveling during the weekend in Australia, it's kind of similar. You just keep eating everywhere you go. You go to the airport, eat, go home, hotel, eat.
Yeah.
You know, even after the show, eat, because I exert a lot of energy.
Exactly right.
And I don't want to lose any sores. But after that, here comes training.
Yeah.
And the way I'm training at the moment, obviously, you know, DK has just, you know, taught me so much with form, and it's incredible what you've done with my, I don't know, training. And I guess I try and change it up. You always got to change it up, not sticking to the same plan every time. I walk into a gym and I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm not with you.
Yeah.
But when I'm with you, it pushes me to that next level. I think I'm pushing myself, but then I go on DK's fucking mat and he just pushes me next level, and I actually have DOMS the next day.
Yeah.
I don't really get DOMS when I train by myself, but I still go hard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
yeah, good
rambling
stuff.
On.
So, what's your favorite muscle group to train?
Oh, it'd have to be chest and back. I love back and chest.
Yeah,
chest
together?
And back. Back and chest and traps and tries. Everything.
Yeah, favorites. Let's go favorite meal. So, favorite meal eating well, and favorite meal, let's say when you're hungover, or you've had a big gig and you just want to smash some calories.
Okay. Favorite meal eating well will probably be
teriyaki.
Yeah, he just took it out. I actually had it today. Teriyaki salmon with white rice and veggies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what about a shit meal?
Let's just put it out there. Burger, my friends. Surry Hills, hit it up. It's fucking unreal. I get the biggest thing there. It's called the Bird Beast. 2x Wagyu patties, 2x fried chicken patties on a brioche bun, heaps of lettuce, cheese, whatever. And then I get an extra side of a... what is it? A chicken Canterbury. So it's a fried chicken burger, coleslaw, all the sauces, chips, Coke, see you later, shit the bed. And see you in a few weeks because I will be napping.
He's done it before. He knows the menu off by heart.
Once a week. Oh, they know me too well there.
A couple of questions before we wrap things up, man.
Yeah.
A question I ask most people that come on the show is, do you have any daily or morning rituals?
Well, I was meditating there for a bit. If I wake up early for the sunrise, that's always a great way to start the day. It's not really a ritual though. It's a good thing to do. I don't know. I get up and I check my emails. I eat breakfast, oats. But usually when I wake up, man, I have to just go.
Just get stuck into it straight away.
When I'm like, go, like leave, go to another city, you know, when I'm on tour. So, but yeah, when I'm at home, it's usually just brekkie and try to start the day in a positive way.
Awesome, man. All right, and then lastly, any tips or advice for people that are traveling and want to stay on health with their goals or even improve? Because I really think there's no reason why you can't continue to improve when you're traveling.
100%. I improved while traveling. So what I've learned is find hotels with good gyms, and not just the word gym. There's not going to be a gym. It's going to be a treadmill and a 2 kilo weight.
And an exercise ball.
And an exercise ball, of course.
They all have exercise balls.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. I never use them.
No.
But yeah, so that's one aspect. Another thing, I guess that's it really, because I've paid 40 euros for a gym session a lot of times. So, yeah. But if you don't want to do that, just suss your hotel out. But yeah, that's probably it on when you're on the road. And maybe pack some tuna and rice.
Yeah, almonds. Have protein handy.
Yeah. So on the flight, I'll always be snacking on almonds, tuna, rice. Oh, not rice. Maybe like the pre-cooked ones.
Yeah.
I get, what else do I get? Just protein bars and shakes. I've got cornflakes on my rider. It's a good little carb.
Yeah, nice.
I think.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyway, it works. And yeah, just get the protein in. Nuts and yeah, fruit. Fruit's good. Get your sugar levels, keep your sugar levels up while you're on the flight. And drink so much water, it nearly makes you feel sick.
Yeah.
That's the last thing.
100%.
Full stop. I drink so much water.
It's underrated how much you should be
drinking. 5 liters at least.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I love it. I will really do appreciate you coming on the show, man. And I'll make sure I put all your socials and all that in the show notes.
Perfect.
Guys, make sure if you haven't already, which I'm sure you have, go to Spotify, go to iTunes, download Will's music, check it all out. Any feedback on the show, be sure to let me know and I'll pass it on to Will.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks,
guys,
brother.
Make sure you stick around for this week's social media question of the week. How good was that, guys? I've been wanting to have Will on for a long time now, and I know a lot of you have as well. So I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Now it's time for this week's social media question of the week. And that question is, how do you reduce your visceral fat? Now, firstly, what is visceral fat? In the simplest way possible, it's the fat that surrounds your organs. So it's not necessarily the fat that you can see. If you're visually looking at someone, you wouldn't go, oh, this person has a lot of visceral fat. Although it is extremely dangerous and we don't want to be having a high level or a high amount of visceral fat. So what are the best ways to get rid of it? The first thing is to reduce your calorie intake to make sure that you're in a slight calorie deficit. So the chances are that you need to lose a few kilos or a few pounds if you're listening to this in America. And the best way to do that is to eat in a slight calorie deficit, anywhere between 200 and 500 calories below your maintenance intake. The second thing is to reduce your alcohol consumption. Alcohol, a lot of the time, can be a huge factor in the reason behind having a large amount of visceral fat. So reducing your consumption is obviously going to help. And then thirdly is to do some high intensity interval training. And I mean really high intensity interval training, where you're getting your heart rate up as high as possible, letting your heart rate drop back down, and then repeating, which in my opinion is one of the best ways to reduce body fat percentage and also increase your anaerobic and aerobic capacity. So there you go, guys. That's three ways to reduce your visceral fat. Give those a try. And as always, if you've taken some value from today's episode, I would absolutely love it if you could take a screenshot of this episode today and post it on your social media within the next 30 minutes. So whether that be Instagram stories, an Instagram post, Snapchat, or posting the link to your Facebook, even just chatting about it amongst your work colleagues or your friends, that would be awesome. I would really appreciate that. So if you haven't hit that subscribe button, please do, and make sure you leave a review and rate the podcast as well. I look forward to chatting to you in next week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast.